So I don't normally look back on podcasts after they're done, but on the last one, I was making a set of key points that were kind of leading to this whole discovery. And it started with Neil Diamond, who wrote I'm a Believer, which was covered by the Monkees, who was created by this guy, Bob Rafelson, who directed Five Easy Pieces. But why is that? Why is that all interesting? Well, the whole ingredient that I left out was that Charles Manson auditioned for the Monkees, and he didn't obviously get in the band. So maybe that's what started it all. Why is that important? It just is, man. It's weird. Everything's connected. We're all one. And it all leads back to Neil Diamond. All right, I dug that intro, man. That was connecting all the dots, like the movie, Zodiac, with the one by David Fincher. Man, that was a good movie. Connecting all the dots. Some fucking crazy-ass freaking white guy serial killer shit, man. Yeah, man. We're all connected, man. We're all one. Anyway, I just thought you'd find that interesting. Yeah, Charles Manson, he auditioned for the Monkees. The Monkees went on to record I'm a Believer and cover Neil Diamond, and Charles Manson went on to start a cult. That was the end of the 60s. It's a good little segue into this. Basically, today is just an information day. Today is like that day that the day after you take like Molly, you know, or ecstasy, and you're having a great one all night, and then the next day you can't even like form a sentence. So you have to like replenish your system with vitamins and electrolytes and shit like that. I'm out here at Lake Snatch and listening to a little John Denver, and see, it's all connected. My name is John. I just got back from Denver. But anyway, that whole connected dots thing, the whole Neil Diamond, you know, Monkees, I'm a Believer. I'm a Believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. You could take it even further. Start going into Shrek territory and stuff. It's all connected though, man. See? Now we're making those degrees of separation are starting to include animated characters. And you can still trace it all back to the Pope. But anyway, moving on. I wanted to start with, again, we're replacing those electrolytes and all that shit you lost last night while you were on Molly, you know, and now you're a talking monkey. So we're going to fill your brain back up with some useless bullshit. Excuse me. And one thing that is an easy segue, oh man. In 2004, Google anonymously posted math problems on billboards in Harvard Square, which I believe is in Boston, and Silicon Valley, that if solved, led to a website with another equation, which would let you submit your resume to the company. Very clever. Boy, they were looking for the real Zodiac killers at that place. That's pretty clever, though. You know, you gotta hand it to him. I drove through the Google campus on the way to a Sublime concert with 311. And the one where my buddy Pete wore white pants to an outdoor concert on the grass. Yeah, one of those. And so it was just like it was billed. It's just like you could imagine, like the Google campus. They've got those freaking bikes with the yellow, white, red, blue spoke, you know, solid spokes on those, on their bikes. Everything's free, and it is what they said it was. They were what they said we are, whatever that quote is. They are who they said they we are. Who's that coach? Dennis Smith for the Arizona Cardinals. Rest in peace. Had a heart attack, but shit, man. That was when Matt Leinart was beating up the Bears. And was it the Bears? They had a big lead on him, and then they just came back and gave it all up. Yeah, it was a Cardinals-Bears game. Was it the Bears? Yeah. That was a good, and that was the year. Was it the Bears? It was some team that had a big run that year. And Matt Leinart, fresh from USC, was dismantling them. And then they lost it all. They sucked it up. But anyway, very clever, Google. Between 1915 and 1926, there was an epidemic of an atypical form of encephalitis called encephalitis lethargica. The disease, which affects the brain, leaves the victims in a speechless, motionless, statue-like condition. During the epidemic, it is thought to have infected more than 1 million people and caused over 500,000 deaths. In 1927, the epidemic ended as mysteriously and abruptly as it first appeared. Crazy, huh? How bizarre. I mean, we're all just bacteria, man. And it's how we react to other bacteria that determines whether we live to see another day. Crazy shit. Scientists have finally concluded that the chicken came first, not the egg, because the protein which makes eggshells is only produced by hens. True. Also, chickens are dinosaurs, so they were around first. I mean, chickens have been around forever. And that goofy little buddy of yours, evolution, just snuck up and decided to create this thing that you gotta sit on. And then it'll be good in diners later down the road when you make a omelet, like a Denver omelet. See, it's all connected. Denver omelet. Check this out, though. Did you know Martin Luther King Jr. and Anne Frank were born in the same year, 1929? Yeah, if they were still alive, as they should be, they would be both turning 92 this year. The Civil Rights Movement and the Holocaust were not that long ago. Crazy, huh? Same age. Anne Frank. You just think of Anne Frank as like living like in the First World War, just some old historical time, you know, but no. It's like Picasso. Yeah, you think Picasso was back in the 1800s. Picasso was around like in the 50s. Like, you know, he only died like in the 70s, I think. 70s or 80s. Yeah. Crazy, huh? Let's see. When did Pablo Picasso live? I love shit like this because it does blow your mind. Pablo Picasso. He's born in 1881 in España. He died in 73, see? Died in the 70s. But modern dude. But you just, you know, when you think of like cubism, surrealism, expressionism, impressionism, you think about 1800s, you think about, and that could, you know, I mean, anyway. That's pretty cuckoo. MIT Austin, which is Massachusetts Institute of Technology, often cited as one of the world's most prestigious universities, offers nearly all of its courses, all of its course materials online. Anyone can access them online for free. There you go. So you could be an MIT engineer. You could be on the MIT online track team. And, or be on the online football team. The town of Honiton, UK, has a hot penny day A parade, and I've never heard of this before. This was interesting. A parade where children collect thrown coins. The tradition was purportedly started by wealthy people whom would heat pennies on a stove, throw them into the streets, and laugh at the peasants burning their fingers while picking them up. Like, that's so English, you know? That's very English. It's very UK. It's horrible. What did they pick up the hot pennies with to throw them out on the street? Maybe some little metal calipers or something. Check this out. It took 200,000 years for the human population to reach 1 billion. Then it only took 200 years for it to reach 7 billion. Crazy. Talk about integers and exponential integers. It's just too many people. Like, in Roseville, for God's sakes, like, the meter lights are on all day. Like, they're on, like, 11 in the afternoon. To go to Roseville. Like, go fuck yourself. Okay. Let's see. In 1986, an astronomer named Cliff Stoll was working to solve a 75-cent accounting error in the computer usage accounts when he traced the error to an unauthorized user who had used the system but not paid for it. He spent 10 months trying to solve the puzzle and ended up discovering that it was a German hacker stealing defense secrets and selling them to the KGB. That's cool. That's cool. See? It's more of that Zodiac shit. It all leads somewhere. It all leads to Neil Diamond. Okay. Werner Fossmann was the first band to perform cardiac catheterization on himself. After putting himself under local anesthesia, he inserted the catheter into a vein in his arm. He then walked downstairs to the x-ray department and successfully advanced the catheter to his right atrium. He won the Nobel Prize for developing the procedure. He was also a Nazi between 1932 and 1945. We stole all their scientists, you know. We stole Nazi scientists. Yeah, and Nazis living in Mexico. I mean, New Mexico. Working on top secret shit, man. American eyes, American eyes. View the world from American eyes. Bury the past, rob us blind, and leave nothing behind. All right. The sun and moon appear to be the same size because of an astonishing coincidence. The moon is 400 times smaller, but 400 times closer. That's something you could drop on somebody that you're trying to chat up at the old pub. Yeah, that'd be a good one. The moon is 400 times smaller, but it's 400 times closer. It's all geometry, man. Why do you think his name is Neil Diamond? See? Because researchers believe it would be impossible to build the pyramids today and still have little to no insight on how they were actually built. The Great Pyramid is comprised of an estimated 2.3 million blocks, approximately 5.5 million tons of limestone, 8,000 tons of granite, and 500,000 tons of mortar were used in the construction. But nobody knows how they got there. 2,446 years ago, before the reign of Cleopatra. And sometime after the gigantic island of Atlantis that used to be the Atlantic Ocean. Do you ever wonder why they call it the Atlantic Ocean? Because it used to be Atlantis, the island of Atlantis. And there was only a small stream of ocean water separating Atlantis from Africa, as well as on the west side, the North and South American. But the Great Flood supposedly just ended the whole kingdom. But interesting, huh? It's all detailed in the song Atlantis by Donovan. Way down below the ocean is where I wanna be. She may be, you know, that song in Goodfellas when they give it to Billy Bat and the music kicks up, and Joe Pesci grabs Billy Bats around the neck. That's the song playing. Way down below the ocean. It's Atlantis, man. It's all connected. The pyramids. It's all related. The number of people donating their bodies to science has doubled in the last 10 years because funeral costs are so high. And most schools will cremate the donated body when they're done and return it to the family at no cost. Wild. But why not? It's just your meat vessel. It's just your meat submarine that you're riding around in. Okay. In 1988, the final history exams for more than 53 million Soviet schoolchildren were canceled because the government concluded that much of the history they had been taught was lies. See? We all got our own little society, our own little communities, and we all have our own history and our own version of that history. It's only now that, you know, being in a country like this that's so scrutinized, you ultimately turn the scrutiny on yourself to reveal the truths about, you know, shit. On the train back from Denver, the conductor was telling us where the the marking post was along the rail that we were going through the Rockies on, that up to that point had been Mexican land. All the way up into the middle of Colorado was Mexican land. And now it isn't. So there you go. History is taught by the survivors. You know? It's sad. In 1916, Adeline and Augusta Van Buren became the first women to travel across the U.S. on two solo motorcycles. They made it despite frequently being arrested for wearing pants, naturally, in our repressed puritanical society. Good for them, though. I love those stories. Because, you know, back then, like, you didn't have to put that on your resume if you went to get a job. You're like, ah, I've been arrested a bunch of times for wearing these pants. Like, nobody gave a shit. iPhones bought in Japan and Korea cannot be muted when using the camera to avoid people taking secret photos. Whoa. Dang. Must be a deal out there. You're getting secretly photoed. This is interesting. A 46-year-old dyslexic man named Benjamin Bolger has earned 14 degrees so far in his life. He claims to be the second most credentialed perpetual student in modern history. That is weird. But admirable. No, not admirable. I'm jealous because if I had the opportunity to stay in school and never leave that biosphere, why the hell not? Just sit around reading all day, just hanging out, just being a goof. Just being a college student. Good Lord. It's the greatest phase anyone can have in their life. If you find a lost ID or lost wallet with an ID inside of it, you know you can drop it in a U.S. Postal Service mailbox and they'll return it to its owner free of charge. Minus the subway card that has 8 holes punched in it. Thank you very much. In Japan, it takes up to 20 years of school to become a sushi chef. That's hard to say fast. Sushi chef. Sushi chef. Sushi chef, sushi chef, sushi chef. Which is years longer than it takes to become a doctor. Yeah, of course. That makes perfect sense. In 2014, a California 7th grader named Shubham Banerjee built a Braille printer out of Lego building blocks. Since regular Braille printers are too expensive for low-income families, the teenager wanted to create a cheaper solution. His design, which he called Brego, that's clever, brought down the cost from more than $2,000 to less than $500. He also decided to give away the design and the software for free.
Good for him. See?
See, these are the, you know, those are the kids that, I don't know, they're different. Good for him. Ancient Egyptians had a pregnancy test, this is very interesting, where potentially pregnant women peed on barley and wheat seeds. Plant growth indicated pregnancy, barley for a boy, and wheat for a girl. Later tests show urine of pregnant women does cause plant growth 70% of the time, while urine of non-pregnant does not. Well, it's because of the nutrients, obviously, in the you know, in utero. You know, that's fascinating that you're creating this internal, like, utopia of like buffet dining. You know, the greatest ingredients in the world keep you nourished, hydrated, aware, sets your DNA into building block mode. I mean, it's like, man, no one of those weirdos eat the fetus and shit. Not the fetus. What the fuck is it? Umbilical cord, not the fetus. Well, in the Hollywood they do. In the Victorian era, men with mustaches used special cups called mustache cups. These mugs had guards on them which prevented a man's mustache from dipping into their warm cup of tea. mustaches are so strange, you know? How they work on some people but not on others. Yet, the ones that they don't work on, they still grow them, and sometimes even it looks even better when it's more awkward. I don't know. Sometimes it's just the scuzzier the mustache, the better. What is that all about? In 1952, Alain Bombard crossed the Atlantic Ocean, 4,400 kilometers in 65 days. So what is that, 4,400 kilometers? It's about 2,700 miles, 2,800 miles. Yeah, the Atlantic Ocean, sounds about right. In 65 days, without provisions, eating only plankton and fish he caught, drinking juice he pressed from fish, rain, and small amounts of seawater. He did this as a proof that you can survive after a shipwreck if you're mentally prepared. Jesus. 1952, October 19th, 1952. Like, okay. Well, later, guys. Just hops in this fucking Walmart boat and off he goes. You want a Nutri-Grain bar or something? Nah, I'm good. American inventor Elias Howe had a dream where he had been captured by a tribe of savage cannibals. Just as the cannibals were about to eat him, he noticed that they held spears with holes in them. He woke with an idea for the sewing machine. How cool is that? I think he's got some deeper-seated issues, though, that he may want to look into, even though he's probably been dead for about 200 years, but that's pretty cool. Okay, so this is really weird. This is the creepiest shit I've seen in a long time. The Gbayas people of Cameroon hunt pythons with their own oiled-up leg as bait that they put in a hole. The python swallows much of it, can't regurgitate it, and the bait person is pulled from the hole to decapitate the python. Like, dibs. Get the fuck out of here, man. I'm cool on, like, what else you got, man? I mean, I'll just have some kale. Vlado Tenesky was a Macedonian journalist who was also a serial killer. See, it's all connected, man, Zodiac. He reported on his own crimes and was caught because he wrote articles on the murders with information that had not yet been released, and only the killer would have known. A bit ahead of his time. Old Vlado. Jesus. That's creating supply and demand for yourself. That's the ultimate entrepreneur, isn't it? This is something I told my lady the other night. shared it with her, just saw this. There's an interactive murder map that pinpoints all the homicide locations in London since 1811. Each pin is colored to indicate the method of killing, and clicking on a pin also reveals the victim's profile and links you to their case detail. I guess really interesting. So, depending on when Jack the Ripper was, let's see, since 1811, so, let's see, Jack the Ripper would, let's see, when did he roam around? Yeah, 1888, so he's probably in there somewhere, or his victims, rather. Whoa. What an infamous, interesting, strange thing. Jack the Ripper. We all know who Jack the Ripper is. And he's just this English guy from the 1800s that just was an unidentified serial killer. We all know who he is, though. So, who? The terms idiot, imbecile, and moron are all medical definitions for people with certain IQ ranges. Yeah, it can be categorized. Idiot ranges from 0 to 20. Could you imagine if you had like a 0? Is that even, like, without other implications or manifestations, as in mental retardation? You know, is there, what is the lowest natural IQ? I wonder what that is. By somebody that doesn't have any inflictions or afflictions. But anyway, idiot ranges from 0 to 20. Imbecile is 21 to 50. And moron is 51 to 70. So if you're like 49, you're like, man, if I study a little harder, I can be a moron. I'm just an imbecile. If I read this book, though, I might bump myself up into the 50s. Okay. This is interesting, but it wasn't interesting because it makes, well, because, listen, whilst observing howler monkeys, researchers at Cambridge University discovered a surprising trend amongst the males. The louder a male roared, the smaller his genitals were. Well, yep, the old adage, the loudest guy in the room knows the least. Yep. It's just the... Life is about inversions. If you invert whatever your norm for thinking or your pathway for thinking is, you just invert that. Should it make more sense? Yeah. The guys with the big giant trucks and shit, you know. You know what we're talking about. Anyway. The guys with the big trucks and the little dicks. One of the reasons your lungs feel refreshed when walking through a pine forest is because of an anti-inflammatory compound called apennine, A-penine, found in conifers. It is used as a bronchodilator in the treatment of asthma and abundantly present in marijuana. You don't say. Yeah, anti-inflammatory. So... yeah, basically, well, it's trees, you know, pulling the carbon dioxide out of the air, you know, so it's going to be, that's going to dilate your, you know, your bronchial passages, of course. It's brilliant. Let's chop them down and make palm oil. Rah! Gotta keep making that plastic. The city government of Glasgow, this is so funny, the city government of Glasgow, Scotland, allows the Duke of Wellington statue to have a traffic cone on his head because every time it's been removed in the last 30 years, a new one appears within days, costing them about £10,000 annually. Well, I don't quite understand how they come up with that total. I don't know what costs are involved. Whoever they're paying to remove the cone is grossly overpaid, but just the mere fact that every time you get rid of the cone on top of his head, another one appears the next day is so fucking cool. I want to go there. Wait a minute. I've been to Glasgow. It's a big town, though. I didn't see Conehead. This is a really good story. So it's a slightly longer story, and it's kind of reminiscent of, like, the ceasefire in World War 1941, I believe, when the Germans and the English held a ceasefire in the trenches on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and they played a soccer match together. But check this out. The year was 1967, and a brutal civil war had erupted in Nigeria between the federal government and the state of the Republic of Biafra, located along the country's southeastern coast. The Igbo people of Biafra felt that the northern-dominated federal government was no longer representing their aspirations and so thought to secede. What followed were 3 years of violence and famine throughout Nigeria along ethnic and cultural lines. A country of more than 60 million people consisting of over 300 different ethnic and cultural groups, finding common ground as a means of ending such atrocities was no easy task. That is, until Pele came into town. On January 26th of 1967, when Santos landed in Nigeria for their game against the Nigerian national team known as the Green Eagles, Nigeria's two warring factions agreed that a 48-hour ceasefire was in order. What's more, the people responsible for the safety of attendees were the military officers from both sides, lining up around the Lagos City Stadium, weapons in hand, side by side, with the aim of protecting all members of the crowd, regardless of ethnic or political division. In other words, everyone who attended this match had only one goal in mind: to enjoy 90 minutes of beautiful football with friends and strangers alike. There was no violence in the stadium, no arrests, only football fans that had been brought together by a shared passion. And so it went. Crowds celebrated as the game ended in a draw, with Pele scoring 2 goals for Santos, both of which were met with applause from the stadium. Santos took off for the next match, and within days, the fighting between the Nigerian government and the Biafran soldiers had resumed. Yet it was Pele and his mastery of the beautiful game that had, albeit temporarily, united people of different backgrounds and mindsets, giving them a taste of peace and companionship in an otherwise dark and dreary period of history. Sports can bring people together. Let it be said, laughing in sports. The expiration date on water bottles is for the bottle, not the water. Just so you know. And the last piece of info for the evening is something really out there. It's, okay. Dig this. There's a religion in Vietnam called Caudaism. Or Caudaism. Caudaism? Caudaism. Caudaism? Dig this. Oh, that reminds me of something else, too, after this. I got one more thing. Its followers believe in a single God who sent prophets, sent many prophets. Some of these prophets include Buddha, Confucius, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, Pericles, Julius Caesar, Joan of Arc, Victor Hugo, and Sun Yat-sen. It even has a Holy See and Pope figure. But one of the prophets is Victor Hugo. The guy that wrote Les Miserables and The Hunchback of Notre Dame is one of the prophets. That's wild. But check it out. Adherents engage in practices such as prayer, veneration of ancestors, nonviolence, and vegetarianism, with the goal of union with God and freedom from samsara. I don't know what that is, but estimates of the number of Caudaists in Vietnam vary. Government figures estimate 4.4 million Caudaists affiliated to the Cadao Thai Ninh Holy See, with numbers rising up to 6 million. If other branches are added. However, estimates vary. The United Nations found about 2.5 million Caudaist followers in Vietnam as of January 2015. An additional number of adherents in the tens of thousands, primarily ethnic Vietnamese, live in North America, Cambodia, Europe, and Australia as part of the Caudaist diaspora. How crazy is that? Like, Victor Hugo is just kicking it up there with freaking JC and Buddha and the other JC, Caesar, who was killed on March 15th. Beware the Ides of March. Yeah, that's a wild one. Okay, I lied. I got one more thing I wanted to tell you, if I can find just the craziest shit ever. Speaking of crazy people, where'd it go? It's another religion. Oh, here it is. Gun church that worships with AR-15s bought a 40-acre compound in Texas for its patriots. There's a gun church. Like, it's a church. And they worship with their guns. So, I'm sure you can track them down. They're in Texas. I know, shocker. And I'm sure if you Google that shit, it'll blow your fucking mind. Crazy world. All right, folks. Well, this is your Tuesday special bonus, but right on time because I'm fucking with the algorithm edition. So, hope you enjoyed it. I'll talk at you all later. Arrivederci, babies.